Okay. Next up, Muzz, is Gloria.
Tell me about Gloria.
Gloria is a woman who has a lot of thoughts about death and dying. She is unafraid of talking about it and very generous in what she's willing to share. And I was very appreciative and happy to talk to her.
That sounds great.
I think she's going to be really interesting for everyone to listen to.
I can't wait.
Okay, let's get into it. Thank you for agreeing to talk to me, Gloria.
You're welcome.
And thank you also to Dusty for saying, she was basically like, I think my mom would totally like to talk about, you know, she sort of said, my mom is like, talks easily about death and dying. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I totally agree too.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. Most people who agree to talk to me doesn't mean they don't have the fear, but they certainly are, it seems like quite like it's a, this is an obvious part of life and are willing to look at it as opposed to avoid it. And I think avoidance is, it's a harmful part of our culture, death avoidance or death denial.
If you avoid it, the thing is, you're not accepting it.
Mm.
You have to accept it because it's part of life.
Right.
And when you pass over, you generally go up to see God, which is the most amazing thing in the world. So why would you be afraid to die? Because you're actually going back where you first came from.
So when, at what age can you remember a time or age, or like, I mean, age has become, the older I get, I feel like the less I'm aware of what age I was when certain things happened, but when you became aware of death?
Well, all my life we've had deaths, but I think my first spirit actually came through at about 15.
Okay.
And terrorized me.
Oh.
Like, to the point I couldn't move because I didn't understand it.
Right.
And I still don't know what he wanted or anything, but it made me realize that there is life after death.
Okay. So just a bit of background. Gloria, are you from Ontario? Mm-hmm. Were you born in Ontario?
Yes.
Whereabouts were you born?
London.
London. Okay. So close. So you've kind of remained in the area.
I stayed in the area.
Okay. And did you have siblings?
No.
No siblings?
No.
Were you raised by two parents?
Yeah.
Yeah. And did your parents talk to you about death?
Never.
Dying? Never. Never.
Never. It was something you just didn't do. You didn't talk about death.
Right. And so, do you mind me asking your age?
64.
64. So I think that's actually pretty common. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is, my dad has always said to me, oh, you don't talk about death or money. That was with him growing up. His parents were like, oh, no, you don't talk about death or money.
Exactly.
Or
religion.
Or religion. Sure. And, you know, these all sort of apparently very personal and private things. The death one is kind of fascinating that we don't talk about it, though.
Because we don't want to believe it.
Mm.
Like most people say, oh, well, he's gone. And then that's it. You never talk about that person.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're gone, they're not really gone.
Right.
You know.
That's something you believe strongly.
I still believe strongly, yes. They'll come to me to tell me things, to verify that they're still there.
So going back to when you were 15. So growing up, 0 to 15, before this first happened, did you experience close family death?
I would say yes,
mm.
But you just went, you just paid your respects, and that was it.
And it didn't stick out. It did nothing. None of it sticks out of your mind. Do you have any memories of witnessing grieving?
No.
Like your parents grieving or family members grieving?
It was never shown.
No. Isn't that interesting?
They never show it.
Yeah. Do you think that that is cultural to, I'm trying to, because I don't know that that's true in all cultures. And so it's certainly very true. I think it's improving. It's getting better. There's a lot more conversations around grief.
Right.
But it seems like a very sort of North American white people.
True, because most cultures, they live with it, they grieve, but they go on, where we just, oh, he died, and then it's like a shut off.
Mm, right. So up until you were 15, it wasn't something that you even really thought of. Is that
exactly? And the same thing when my children were young, I didn't take them because I didn't want them to have fear.
What do you mean by take them? Like to funerals?
Yeah, take them to funerals until they were a certain age because I didn't want them to have fear.
Hmm. What part of the funeral do you think would create fear?
The part in the casket.
Right.
The part in the casket. Because they didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
They just knew somebody was no longer there.
Right.
But they didn't see how the person had changed, or the person didn't look like who he was now.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I didn't want them to. I wanted them to remember them as they were.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's a pretty common sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were 15, you mentioned that. What actually happened? Where were you? What happened? What did...
I was laying in bed. I was married at the time. And a spirit came to the door of our bedroom. And the fishlight blew because there was so much energy. And he had a cowboy hat on and a cowboy shirt on. And he just stood there and stared at me.
That must have been terrifying.
It was so terrifying. I could not move. I couldn't scream. I couldn't even budge my husband.
Mm.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
I couldn't close my eyes. I couldn't anything. And then eventually, somehow I closed my eyes. When I came back, he was gone.
Gloria, you married very young.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Were you 15 when you got married?
Yes.
Yes. Did you have any children at that point?
No.
No. Was there anything, and did you tell your husband about, like, what?
Yeah.
You did. What was his reaction?
Nothing.
No.
He didn't believe anything.
No. No.
It's just like, yeah, right.
That was a dream. Right. Did you think it was a dream?
No.
Did you think it was possible it was a dream?
No. I was totally awake.
Yeah.
Because it startled me when the fish aquarium, because I was afraid of the dark. So I had a fish aquarium in the living room. Mm-hmm. And when it burst, then I knew it woke me up right away. Mm. And that person was there. So it was something, it terrified me. I've never, ever forgotten.
So what, because when you mentioned it at the beginning, you said that it was evil or bad. I can't remember the language that you used. What about
that person?
Yeah.
There was just an awful feeling came through me.
Mm.
So who it was, I don't know.
Okay.
But it wasn't something I wanted to be near.
Yeah.
And when evil spirits do come near, I don't accept them to come through.
So do you say that out loud?
Yes.
Yeah. And if someone's experiencing that, is that what you would suggest, is like you say that? You,
if you have an awful feeling and you can't figure it out and you know, just say, I don't want to talk to you. Surround me with white light.
Okay.
And when you surround yourself with white light, that is the Heavenly Father who surrounds you with it, and they can't get past it.
Right.
It could be a gray spirit. It could be a dark, a black spirit. Or their auras are. But it's something that I sense. I can be walking, and there's, even though I don't know the person, but I don't want to know that person.
Okay. I hear you. Yeah. I've had that feeling before, for sure. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, there's a darkness to this person.
Yes, and mm-hmm. you stay away.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, I did actually, for years, my first husband was a dark entity.
Okay. How old was he when you married?
30.
Okay, so you were 15. You told him this thing happened, and he was just like, nah, didn't listen to you.
He never did, but it never went away, that uneasiness of it.
Mm.
And later on in life, I'm sure it was somebody who knew him, because later in life, he's a dark entity. My husband was. He actually tried to strangle me.
Was he passed away?
Mm-hmm.
He's passed away. How long did you remain married to him?
7 months.
7 months. Okay.
It's either 7 months or 10 months. I can't remember, but because I got too many beatings, I left.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, years later, he was with another woman. He actually ended up killing her.
Oh.
He did strangle me, but I woke up out of it. He let go of my neck.
This is literally, like, he tried to strangle you when you were married?
Yes. His words were, I'm going to kill you. I'm really going to kill you.
And then he did end up killing his next wife.
He did.
I'm glad you made it out of there.
And I found out that the gun was there while I was there, which I didn't know. But he killed himself afterwards.
Sorry, can I clarify? He killed himself after he killed his wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then they found, their child found the mother wrapped in a blanket under the bed, and the father was dead in a chair. But for the longest time, I couldn't go by the house because there was such a bad feeling in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually went to my mentor and I said, I can't get past this. What's going on?
What kind of mentor? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I have a spiritual mentor.
And is it, how did you meet this person?
Through another friend, actually. And it turns out we had hidden what we did for a long time.
Okay.
And I felt a real close connection to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I met her. And we just have stayed in touch.
Okay. And so when you were going by the house, or where you felt like you weren't able to, how many, was that recently or was that years ago?
It was years ago when he first died.
Okay.
And the reason was, he didn't know he was dead because his time was not up. He took his own life. God didn't take it.
Mm.
So he was kind of like floating in the air because he didn't know where he was or anything. Right. So eventually one day I had to keep driving by there and saying, you need to go home. You are dead. So eventually he did do what he was supposed to. And he left. But every time I go to a psychic or anything, he would come through. Every time.
With what intention?
I don't know, because I would never talk to him because I didn't want...
You didn't let him?
No, I didn't let him. So just recently, and he has been dead now since... Well, I'm 64, so you know how many years.
Like, was it shortly after you left that he died?
Yeah.
Okay.
About 2 years after, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So he's been gone for
almost 50 years?
He's been gone 23 years, actually.
Oh, 23 years. Okay.
23 years. I just thought of that. And so just last year, I said, fine. I surrounded myself with white light. And I said, just let him come through and say what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, why didn't I do that many years ago? Because all he wanted to say was, I'm sorry how I treated you.
Mm.
And then he left me alone.
Mm.
And he's never came back. But I had this fear of him, even though he was gone.
Well, the fear is understandable.
Yeah. You know, of many beatings and many getting hit and
of course, yeah.
stuff like that. I was terrified of him, even though he was gone. Because I knew he's still an entity.
Mm-hmm.
So he's never bothered me after he's got to say he was sorry.
How many times have you been married? I don't think
three.
Three times. Okay. So your second husband,
mm-hmm.
How much later, how many years after?
I married when I was 22.
Okay. And is that, how many children do you have?
Four of my own.
Four of your own children. So Dusty and?
The twins. Corey.
Okay. And how did you have children with your second husband? Is that
I had a son.
Okay.
Corey.
Okay. And then during that time, would you say there were you know, you mentioned that throughout the duration, like raising your children, you kind of shielded them from the idea of death or from witnessing, like, for example, an open casket, like the...
Just the open casket. Mm. And I would always tell them somebody died.
Right.
But I would never take them down there.
And did you have conversations with them about some of your experiences?
No.
No, why
not? They were too young. I didn't want to scare them. Mm. When I first started seeing things, until Misty came to me at age 5. She was in, well, no, 4. Grandma had died, and she was hollering one night, "Tell Grandma to get off my bed." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Misty, Grandma's dead. You know that." And she says, "No, she's here." And I said, "No, Misty." And she says, "Don't you see the green glow?" And when she said that, I went, "Mom, get off the bed."
So what does the green glow mean?
That's a spirit.
Okay. Like, is that like a known, like, green glow in particular?
It can be anything.
Okay.
But it was the green glow that I knew it was my mom's spirit, because I'd seen her before, and I sense when she's near with me, and that she would come and ride in the car with me. And, you know, and the one time I was very sick. I had a lap band put in my stomach, but I didn't know I was dying. But I was driving, and all of a sudden it came out of my mouth, "I have to go now, you're going to be okay." And then I thought, why did I just say that? Hmm. And then I realized it was my mother coming through to tell me. Because when a spirit leaves me, they always tell me, for some reason, I'll be okay. My grandfather did that too when I was quite young. He showed me different. He actually showed me the each individual, which one was going to die first, and he showed me all these things. So, like, this person's dying, then this one, and so I knew the order of them. And when I went there, and this was when I was young, I had seen him in a funeral home, sitting in a chair. In a high back brown chair, but he had wires all over him, and this distinctive smell that was coming from him. Mm. And I didn't understand that, but then when I went in, he would walk me to a casket, and it was my uncle the first time. Then it was my dad the second time, and then it was my mom. And it turns out that's the way they did pass away. Mm. But for years before that, the first time I went into the funeral home, that chair was there, right at the doorway.
So you mean when your family members died, your grandfather was there to guide you to them?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that your mom was around you for quite a while.
For quite a while.
But it wasn't evil.
No.
It wasn't. You said that your first husband stayed around because he didn't know he was dead.
Right.
Why do you think your mom stayed around?
My mom stayed around to help me through things. Mm. I was going through a bad time at the time, and she would stay around just till I was okay, because I'd had that lap band. But and I didn't realize I finally when I did go into surgery, the doctor had said to me, "I didn't know if you're coming off that table that night."
I was going to ask. I was like, "Oh, Gloria just dropped a bomb about she was dying," and then we didn't even focus on it. I was going to come back to it, of course.
He told me, and I said, "You didn't tell me that." But I didn't know I was dying.
Were you in pain? Did you have...
No. I just had an 8 for 15 days, and I couldn't get watered down.
That's significant.
The band wouldn't let me.
Right.
And so I was getting to the point that, like he said, I didn't know if you were coming off that table that night.
Right. And so what made you go? Was it your mom leaving that made you go be like, something's not right?
No, it was before that.
Okay.
And she stayed with me the whole time.
Okay.
And I went to the doctor because I thought, I can't eat it. And I was hungry.
Yeah.
And so she stayed through the whole time. And then the one day she said, after I was all fixed up, she said, "I got to go now. You're going to be okay."
I understand now. I didn't understand that before. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you didn't talk about this with your children when they were kids, but how about as adults?
I do now. Yeah. They all know I'm a death doula. They know.
So what does that mean to you? Because there's, so when you say death doula, because there's all sorts of...
doulas?
Well, yeah. And there's actually like a profession of death doula that works, like helps families and the individual, like create sort of like, there's lots of things that they do, but like create a legacy project when someone is dying or has a life-limiting illness. And then, you know, works with the family and sits vigil as they die and things like that. But it's not often described, or not in my experience, as someone who, once people have passed, receives messages or stuff. So what is your, when you say you're a death doula, can you explain
that? I'm called a death doula because I give messages to people after they've died. They will continue to bother me if they want their loved one to know that, know something.
Right.
They will come through, and if I don't, they don't leave me alone until I tell them.
Okay. And is it always people you know?
No.
Is there ever like Dave over there needs to know this, or no, how do you?
Our secretary, her husband came through to me, and I've never ever met him, but he kept showing me little things, and she didn't know I did this. Finally, I just said, Jackie, did you get this? And then one time, was there a dove there? You know, like he was showing me things that he was around her and that. And
how do people respond to that? I mean, I'm sure there's a...
At the first, well, that's why you don't tell people, because they think, oh, she's crazy.
Yeah.
But she's not crazy. This is just what comes through. Jackie just kind of looked at me and she said, how do you know that?
Right.
And I said, I just do. And then the second time, she says, okay. I said, okay, I'll tell you. And then I told her, and then after that, she was fine with it. Mm-hmm. She would constantly, did you get anything? Did you get anything? Mm-hmm. No, you know.
Yeah.
You know, only when he had something to tell me, he would tell me to tell her. And it would just mean a verification that he's around her.
Right.
You know, she's not alone. Mm-hmm.
So do you have any fear of death?
No. No, because I know I'm going to go see God.
Mm.
And then that's the most precious thing in the world. And I'm going to see all my relatives and my two unborn children that I miscarried.
Mm-hmm.
What's to fear?
Would you say, I mean, because we're still living life here on earth. And, you know, we kind of... In relationships, as much as I say we, I just am speaking for myself, of course, but I assume it's broadly applicable. But, you know, in human interactions, we forge relationships. They don't go well. They go well. That all of these things that we do. Do you feel like now, right now where you are, that you have any unfinished business here?
No. I know I'm on my last life.
Hmm.
Like, some people have to come back because they haven't finished.
Mm.
But I know I'm on my last life. So I have no fear of it. I know that when I pass away, I'm still going to come back and see my children and guide them.
Mm. So how do you do any... So this is all very spiritual. Do you consider yourself a religious person?
I don't go to church, but yes, I do believe in God.
But organized religion isn't necessarily... No. It doesn't represent it.
You don't have to believe in the church, and that as long as you have your faith of believing in God. And, I mean, without God, we don't exist.
Mm.
He gives us our breath every day. I believe every day that he has a book. It tells you, this day, these are the people that are going to be born, and on this day, these are the people that are going home.
So given your beliefs and your spirituality, when it comes to things like the sort of the worldly death preparations that we do, so like writing a will,
mm-hmm.
advanced care planning, do you do those things?
It's all done.
So you are prepared for it. Do you mind walking me through everything that you've done? I'm not asking you, like, who are you leaving stuff to? I just...
No, I have, a long time ago, I decided, okay, this is what I want my kids to have. This is what I want done if I should become, that I can't look after myself.
This so is, like bedside wishes?
Yeah, bedside wishes.
Can you give me an example? Because I think all of these, the bedside wishes I find fascinating because a lot of times people, I mean, it really informs a lot. Like you kind of, people have experiences like it, from a young age with death or dying, something that scared them. They're like, I don't want, and even I talked to a lady who was 90 and she's like, I never want, you know, I don't want this to happen because when I was 10 or something like that. Yeah. So like, what are some of your bedside wishes?
My bedside wishes are that my children come and say goodbye and then they go out and not to grieve me, but to celebrate me.
Right. How would you like to be celebrated?
I just want them to remember things that I've done for them or things that I didn't do even. I'm not the perfect mom and I never will be, but I want them to realize that I'm not gone, so don't be sad.
So if you are, if you are have a life-limiting illness diagnosis and people are coming to visit you, are there things that you would like them to do? Are there things that you would like them not to do?
I just want them to be themselves. Don't pity me. That's one thing I don't. Just be themselves and as if I was normal. I don't want them to go, oh, poor me, she's only got X amount of time.
Sure.
No.
Are there things that they could do that would bring you comfort? Particular, I mean, are there passages from books that you like or music or, you know,
you know, it's funny because there is a guy that I listened to on the, on it's Brock and the Master Elvis Band or something. And I've been thinking I'm going to make a tape so that when I go, that's what they're going to play.
Is it music?
Yeah.
And what's he called?
He's called Brock.
Okay.
He's a band. He's amazing. Sounds like Elvis.
Oh, is and a local guy or?
No, he's from Netherlands, but he's amazing.
Oh, you love it.
Yes.
So, I mean, oh, if, oh, we've got some animals in the mix here.
Yes.
So that is something that if you don't get around to making the tape, and something happens, people will know that they'll listening know, to that music.
Yes, they'll know. And, you know, and the other thing, and I tell my children this, and I'm very serious about it. They may think I'm kidding, but I'm not.
Well, it's on record now.
that when I pass away, I don't want to be buried in a dress and all that.
Yeah.
I want to be buried in my pajamas, my slippers, and a blankie.
Well, I don't know why that wouldn't couldn't be honored.
Because that you don't see that.
Sure.
But
you don't want to be cremated. You don't.
No, I can be cremated. I want to be cremated. I don't want bugs up my nose. You know.
Yeah.
But that is something I've stipulated. You make sure I have my pajamas on, my slippers, and my house coat and a blankie.
Oh, Gloria, you've got plans.
That's right. And if you don't, I will come back and get you until you put that with me.
Oh, you've got plans.
Exactly. Because that's how my kids see me. That's how everybody sees me. I'm never in my clothes at home. Never. I had to get dressed for you.
You actually didn't, Gloria. I would have been fine if you'd shown up, if I'd shown up and you were in your PJs. No,
for sure. But that's how I live. Like I work, I come home, I'm in my PJs. Mm-hmm. So please make me comfortable.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel.
Yeah.
And I have told everybody that and they tell me no. And I tell them, you had better because I will come down and haunt you until you put those with me.
Listen, Gloria, I'm on your side on this.
You know?
And my cousin, you should be in your PJs.
My cousin is the same way. I will, and you know, I've told other ones, make sure I am in those. You know, I don't want my feet to be cold, you know? And no, I'm very adamant about that.
Yeah.
You know?
So we've got the music that you're going to make a tape. Or you should ask someone to make a tape for you.
Yeah, I'm
we don't really use tapes
anymore.
Well,
I'm going to make a CD.
Right. Okay. And I mean, that's a great idea because you can pick your greatest hits.
I don't want the sappy songs that they play at funeral homes.
These are the things that, so I, one of the things that was said to me when I was telling you about the women in BC who really kind of got my wheels a-turning about this. She literally whispered to me, I want to hear CCR at my bedside. but my family wouldn't believe it. They're just going to play classical music. And I was like, well, let's write it down, because I think families ultimately want to do right by their loved one.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just didn't ask the question when they had the chance.
No.
So it is a bit of a, it's a gift having your plans laid out like this.
You can go to a funeral home and there's a book there that you can get. They'll give it to you and it tells you what, it tells you where everything is when you pass away.
Yeah.
For your kids.
Yeah.
It tells you your wishes.
Yeah.
So I have all that done.
And what about personal care needs? If you need, if you have personal care needs that need to be attended to, do you have wishes about it not being your family members who do it, for example?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
As long as they're comfortable.
Yeah.
But what I have also in my wills, not just placed one person as my
executor?
No.
Mm.
Because that's too much to ask for one person.
Right.
Because then if you have more children, it's like, well, you did this and I didn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't believe in that. I believe that it should be mutual.
Right. Well, did you have experience like previously where there was like reading of a will, or there was a death and a will stuff that it became contentious? Do you think there's lots of families who experience that?
I think when my grandfather died, a couple of his children, they've passed away now. But he left,
like your aunts and uncles.
Yeah. He left the aunts and uncles all nice parcels and presents and that, but two of them he didn't, because they were just mean.
Mm.
And so they always had something to say.
Right.
And he left me the most of all the grandchildren too. Mm. But he used to say to me, if you don't behave, I will take you out of my will.
Yee.
And I, and I would say, I don't care. Take me out of my will, because I'd sooner have you anyways.
Okay, Gloria.
So
you knew how to respond to that threat.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I did, but I didn't really think of it. And right to this day, I would give the money back in an instant to have them back.
Yeah.
You know, I still feel that way. And I don't want my kids to feel like one person had the whole say of everything.
Mm-hmm. So your experience, you know, even if, as you suggested, the people who got less or nothing from him, you sort of said that maybe they not deserved it, but there was a reason for it. You still wouldn't necessarily recommend that as a, you know, like you want things to be fair regardless of your.
I want things to be fair, but their behavior has to show it too.
Okay.
Because you don't reap from being evil. So why would you reap the benefits if you didn't want to? Let's say somebody, a family, and that person doesn't even come back and see his mother or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you've got another daughter here that comes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is she coming because she loves me or because it's her duty? Like, it should never be a duty. It should be because you love that person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that person who loves me the most, they may get a little more than that other one, but I would never leave that person out.
Right.
Because I would still have that love for that person.
Gotcha.
So when you do wills and that, you should never take into the fact that, oh, he's being bad or something. Take in the part from your heart, you know, from you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a privilege to get something from somebody who passes away.
Sure.
It's not a, you owe me that.
Right. It's not a guarantee.
No.
Or at least in your mind, it's not a guarantee.
No.
Does everyone know where all of your documents are?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom always, whenever they go away, I'm like, the will's in this drawer. Here's the jewelry that I want. And every time I'm like, but have you switched it? I know, Mom. Like, it's in the same spot. But she always wants to make sure. I think one of her big fears, and I don't know if this resonates with you, is that if something happens unexpectedly like that, that there's any kind of extra work for us. She's like, she wants it all laid out. Like it's already laid out and nothing unexpected.
Exactly.
Now there's a lot of people who that's not the case.
I have my plot even.
Oh, you do? Where is it?
It's in Kirkton.
Where's Kirkton? I don't think I know Kirkton.
Going towards Exeter.
Okay.
My mom is there.
Okay.
And my family is up there. And so I, for years, you can't buy into this plots because it's full, right?
Oh, gotcha.
But my family has always had extra plots there. So my aunt, who I love dearly, is 93. Mm-hmm. And so for a present one day, she gave me a plot.
Well, and did you love it?
It was the best thing ever.
I was going to say, that's not a gift that everyone would love, but it strikes me as a gift you would love.
It was the best thing ever mm-hmm. because I'm going up with my family.
Right. So you know? this is my own curiosity asking a question because I haven't had the same experiences you have had with spirits. I've certainly had like, you know, I understand that like feeling of that's not a person I want to be around. And so I understand what you mean by that. But when you talk about things like plots and where you're going to be, it seems like there's where you're, and if you're cremated, where mm-hmm. you're going to be buried on earth, but then you're also, your spirit is going to be around. So mm-hmm. it seems like the plot's important to you. But mm-hmm. is that like, if I'm, how important are things like that to you? Like where you're going to remain on earth?
That plot's important.
Okay.
Because that's my rest time.
Gotcha.
When I'm not on earth, I need to have a place to rest.
Okay.
So I want to be with my family when I'm resting.
Okay.
Right? So it's important that my children have a place to come.
Okay.
But I don't want them to keep coming for years and years and years.
Okay.
No.
So what is...
Till they're over the grieving.
And then you're okay if they don't visit anymore.
Why?
Yeah.
It's like a tin of peas. An undertaker told me that when my mom passed away 23 years ago, he said to me, your body is like a tin of peas. Because I couldn't understand why mom went, right? And he said, the peas are the soul and the tin is the body. So when the soul disappears, mm-hmm. the peas disappear, mm-hmm. you've got this old tin.
Yeah.
And you put it back into the earth to come back.
Right. Okay.
So I've always remembered that. So why do I want my children to come visit just an empty? My soul's not there.
Right. There can be something cathartic about, I mean, this, and this actually probably has nothing to do with me necessarily thinking that I was speaking to my grandpa, but my grandfather passed away. All of my grandparents were dead by the time I was 17, but my grandfather on my mom's side, my maternal grandfather, died first. And he, there's a bench in the cemetery too, you know, the Howard Hazel bench. And I used to go because he used to watch Young and the Restless. And when I was a kid, my grandma used to say to us, oh, grandpa's downstairs looking at his soap. And we didn't understand. So we were kids. So we thought, why is he looking at soap? We don't get it. But then I started to get, oh, soap opera, it's a thing. And he used to kind of explain the Young and the Restless to me. Yeah. And he had a foam brick that he used to throw at it if he didn't like the storyline. And so if there was a while that I would walk to the cemetery. It was also where I would go when I was trying to get away with doing something bad. I would walk and sit on the bench and tell him the updates on the Young and the Restless. And I did that for a while. And then I just stopped needing to do it. Like
he didn't need you to do that.
And so I was, you know, just stopped doing that. And now we go by the bench. It's in the Stratford Cemetery. Mm-hmm. And it looks nice. It's nicely landscaped. My grandmother is now, her name is there as well. She passed away 4 years after he died. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice thing to walk by.
Yep.
You know, it's, and I mean, walking in the cemetery is just kind of, I mean, I feel like it's a Stratford pastime. It might be an every town pastime, mm-hmm. walking through their cemetery, because it's always the least trafficked area and stuff like that. But it is always nice to walk by. Oh, there it is. And we just keep going.
My grandfather's tomb is under a tree in the most dingiest place ever. The graves are sunken. They, it's an old, old, old area. But when I go there to see him, and I only go once in a blue moon when I need to, I feel like he's sitting there talking, listening to me.
So it sounds like you're someone who has learned to trust your gut.
Yeah.
Yeah. That probably served you well.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. And you've got, so it's interesting because most of the people I've talked to are meticulous planners. And I always ask them, for folks out there who are feeling reluctant or worried about making end-of-life plans. So one woman told me that she just felt so relieved when her plans, once they were all in writing and she could just set it aside, knew where it was, it just felt like,
because you know that's your home.
Yeah.
You do. But if you don't have your plans, it's like, where am I going to go? Where am I going to, my final resting place? Well, who's going to fight over this? Who's going to do that? This way it's in stone. You've stopped the fighting. Like in my will, it says that if there's any fighting, everything will be sold and it goes to an animal shelter.
So are there, is there anything that comes to mind? And if not, maybe, but that say by your bedside, through the dying process, that you absolutely do not want to happen.
No.
Is there anything that you would be like, oh God, I can't believe they're doing this.
No, because each person, when a person dies, they have their own way of mourning. Some might scream, some might holler, some might be laugh. It's not, doesn't mean that they're being disrespectful. It's just a way of coping.
So it sounds like, Gloria, your sort of thoughts on it are, if you have a life-limiting illness and you get to a point where you're not communicating, the things your family can do to bring you comfort is to visit, act normal, play the music that you've recorded a CD.
Yeah.
And then
go on with life.
Right.
I don't want them to suffer. I don't want them to, they'll never, no matter what, you never forget your parents. And you'll never forget anybody that's passed away.
Yeah.
Because through the years, you always, sometime or other, it comes up that you remember something about them.
Sure. A smell, you know? Sometimes. I have a necklace that my grandfather gave my grandmother way back in the day, and it still has, remember those old velvet cases that, like, you open it up and it still has a little card in it that he wrote to my sweetheart, love, and I open it up and I can smell her because she was a perfume lady. She was into the scents. But it's so nice because I keep it, and sometimes I just will be walking by and I'll just open it up and smell it and I can remember Nana.
I do that. My mom, when she passed away, for some reason, she had a little lock of her hair in her purse. And sometimes when I am down, I go and get that little lock and I sniff and I feel fine.
So how would you like to be remembered by your loved ones?
How would I like to be remembered? I want them to remember whatever they want to remember of me.
Yeah.
There's not one thing, because each child and each person is different.
Yes.
You know, so I've touched them by totally different things. Like, you can't say, well, I remember her for this, because somebody else remembers me for something else.
Well, I'll tell you what, Gloria, I am never going to forget that your threat to haunt. I'm worried. I'm going to try my darndest to never do anything that would lead you to haunt me. And you're...
No, I will only haunt them if they don't put my pajamas on me.
It is noted. When I'm going to, moving forward, be very encouraging of that.
Yes, I'm glad. But I want them to remember their mom as a caring and loving person.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And they'll always remember that when mom gets stressed out, she cleans the house.
Mm.
They always say get a hobby, Mom, besides cleaning the house.
Well, I don't know. Cleaning can be a hobby.
Yeah. That's exactly it, you know? But yeah.
Well, I really am grateful to you for...
It's nice meeting you.
It was really nice meeting you. I'm really grateful for sitting down. I mean, I think it's very generous when people are willing to talk to me about this because it's personal.
I'm glad people has an interest in death because it's something people don't... they don't want to talk about. They don't want to... Oh my God, you know, Aunt May's going to die, you know?
Yeah.
It's a happening thing.
Yeah.
It's part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people would just open up about it, and you would see not as many people afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know, Will, I mean, I'm sure my mom, when I go, is going to pass, come down for me.
Mm.
You see many people who, when they do pass, they always say a name or something. And that's because that person is coming down. So they're never alone when they pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm glad people are starting to realize that this is something they need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
My kids all know because I've said, you know, this is what I want when I die. I do not want a funeral. They tell me I have to have a funeral. I said, no, I do not have to have a funeral. Mm. I said, this is what I want. And when I'm done, you guys all go out and talk about me.
Mm.
How about, remember when Mom was such a crapper, or you know, remember when Mom did this, you know, or you know, things like that.
Yeah.
No, the good and the bad, not just, people don't realize how important it is to have this all in.
Well, it's a gift. This is a gift that you are giving to your family.
Yeah.
Well, and also in those moments where, and again, this is based on as a witness, where they might be being asked questions by a physician. And if you, it sounds like it's all laid out, they can be like, let's consult Mom's recipe book.
Yeah.
Let's consult Mom's death recipe book for her. And that's a gift. They want those, in those moments where you're out of sorts, don't necessarily want to think about it going through a grieving process, to just be like, what do we want here? Oh, she's written it down. So
yeah,
that's how I see it.
It is. It's a gift. They think it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Sure.
But it's inevitable. I am going to die one day, kids.
Yeah.
You know? Just make sure you got my pajamas on.
I'm on it too, Gloria. You're scaring me.
I've even actually thought, do I get a pair of pajamas and slippers out and, you know, a house coat and a
have
blanket
it ready.
And have it ready?
Absolutely.
You know?
I would say yes to that. Well, like I said, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Very generous of you
nice
with your time.
Nice seeing you and nice talking to you.
Yes, you
Hopefully
too.
Hopefully I see you again.
I know, wow. It's so close. I mean, Dusty and I hang out all the time. We